Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Actually, today it would be Lance Zierlein, Bun B, and Chris Solis with Dell walking around the halls or sitting in here or in the studio. We'll see, because Harrison is here today. So, a lot of stuff going on today. The NBA trade deadline was the big news last night, yesterday, as Cleveland basically took their cartridge, took it out, blew into it really hard, put it back in, and then hit reset, and then tried to start over the entire season. And so the Cleveland Cavaliers, brand new team because they made a bunch of trades yesterday. Dwayne Wade out, is back in Miami. That almost seemed like a mercy trade. Like Cleveland said, look, Dwayne, we know this didn't work out the way you wanted it to. We're going to let you go home and hang out at home. We're just going to trade you back so you don't have to hang out in Cleveland for this disaster.
Right.
That's what it seems like
to
me.
Take a victory lap in Miami.
That's exactly what it looks like. Maybe let him play.
He never sold the house. You know?
No.
Yeah.
Gabby's still by the beach waiting on him.
Never sold the house by the beach to go to Cleveland? No.
No.
He did not. No. Is Cleveland where you got into a little scrap? Wasn't it in Cleveland or no?
Which scrap?
The Vice scrap?
No, that was...
Where was that?
Was it Cleveland? Yeah, I think so. That was one of the RNC.
Yeah, wasn't that where it was?
Outside was of it? In Philly. It was in the Senate. No, it was Cleveland, actually.
Okay, that's where I thought.
Oh, yeah, when you were with Vice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doing the...
I wouldn't call that a scrap. I thought you meant
well,
like real... I
thought nah.
No, heated conversation.
Like rap, I thought you meant rap show.
No. I meant just like, wait, what? And then what I saw that. I said, ooh. It got a little frosty in Cleveland. It's frosty right now for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They get rid of Isaiah Thomas, send him to the Lakers in a deal basically where Isaiah Thomas went from the darling of the NBA last year with the Boston Celtics to now an expiring contract next year for the Lakers that they wanted to take on so they could make room for two stars.
Don't the Lakers get fried too?
Yeah.
Another
expiring contract.
Yeah.
The Lakers took on two players with expiring contracts that they're expected to walk away from so they can pursue
LeBron.
LeBron and Paul George is the thought. Now, they're saying two elite stars.
Right. So they also have the Cleveland's protected first-round pick, which is another chip to take on another expiring contract.
Golly, they're going to have the money. Look at Magic making things
up to
happen.
$70 million they'll have.
That's enough.
Yeah, that'll do two stars.
That's enough. And so now the league is turning into only teams with multiple stars, and that's it. And everyone else's. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, that's the system. And if teams can create enough space. At first the thought was, well, every team has got a chance to, you know, you can pay a bunch of. This is back when everyone thought that you'd have a $10 million player and a $14 million player and a max player. And NBA teams figured out, how about we just try to get two or three players and pay them as much as we can and just fill in the rest with however we can. Mid-level exceptions, veterans who are willing to take less to come try to win a ring, things like that. And that's really the model now. The question is, I think the Houston Rockets are going to be in contention for LeBron. If LeBron wants to leave so he can go somewhere where that gives him the best chance to win a championship, which it looks like that's what he's trying to do right now, I mean... You have a hard time selling me that Lakers, if that's what it's about, that Lakers are greater than Rockets in that regard.
Well, no, I'm surprised that people think, I mean, does he really consider a West team?
Yeah, well, the balance of power would totally shift if. I mean, it already is. The West is
The best. Easily,
far and away. If LeBron goes out west, what's left in the East? I guess it's Celtics.
That's what I'm saying.
You still have Celtics.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, you don't have a lot more.
You've got Milwaukee.
But I think what you're referring to is now you got to mess with the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors in the West. In the East, yeah, you got the Celtics, but you know it's not a lot after that. You're going to be okay.
And this is all about the fact that they just haven't been competitive in the East. What makes him think he just comes to the West and just takes over? You know,
that's the thing that bothers me is it's not just we just saw with Cleveland this year. It's basketball more than any other sport is about chemistry. I mean, it's definitely a lot about chemistry, and this Rocket team has had pretty good chemistry, but not quite been there. And then Dwight and
that experiment
and James didn't have the right chemistry. And they hit, and now I think they, you know, it's like puzzle pieces. Daryl didn't completely throw the puzzle down and start over. He just kept sliding pieces around, like one of those, you know, slide games that we used to have as a kid. We slide it over, up. He kept waiting until he got the right fit, and it feels like the Rockets have the right fit chemistry-wise. It feels like Chris Paul is enough alpha and enough leader and enough good teammate that he's the perfect fit next to James. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, no, he's a hard down competitor. I mean, he comes to play, he comes to win. He's a leader mentally, as far as the locker room goes. And when James is off the court, he picks up, you know, right where they left off. I mean, you look at the record; they're so much better with Chris in the rotation. And again, you know, he's an easy guy to work with. You know what I'm saying? He's not a difficult person to work with, but he is a very strong competitor. But he's not there to get in the way of whatever James has done or whatever James is doing. It's like, let me get in and do the best that I can to be a good fit for this team. And it's paying off. And to me, it's paying off really good. I mean, undefeated on the road, you know, coming back home, that's what you want to see, because obviously they're going to have a good fit at home, but can they take that show on the road? And the answer is, hell yeah.
Yeah. Paul is... He's not a young man anymore.
No.
He hasn't had that much success in the playoffs. So I just see him as still hungry.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think the alpha, he's still an alpha dog, but he's willing to defer a little bit. He sees the younger player on the team in James Harden. Mm-hmm. He just wants to be the leader. He just wants to push farther in the playoffs.
Well, leader is a term that I think people get confused a lot. I think in sports, I think you assume that the highest paid guy is the leader of the team, which isn't true. I mean, if you look at rock bands, people think the lead singer is the leader every time, but that's not true. You look at Metallica, you would think James is the leader, but Lars is the guy that really kind of calls the shots in the back. So it's really about who has that leader mentality, and a part of being a leader is knowing when to step back and let the younger, better trained, better fitting people come in and do what they need to do in order for everyone to get the W. And that's Chris Paul.
That's, yeah, I think that's a good point you make about what leadership is, because Chris Paul, you know, Chris is all about ball. We know James is going to have his fun. James is a phenomenal player, but you don't have to try very hard to see that James is going to go out and have fun when he wants to have fun. That's part of his. He's going to live that life, too.
He's 24, 25 years old.
Yeah.
Worth $200 million.
Yeah.
He should.
He's got the ways and means.
Yeah, he does. He has both. I've got ways, but it's just on the phone, and it's an app.
I've got mean, but...
No more ways.
Yeah.
But Chris Paul, on the other hand, is exactly what you guys said. He is all about ball. He just wants to win badly. Really, really competitive. And I was in a group setting with him where he was talking about when he's done at the game, you know, with the game at Toyota Center, he comes home, he goes up to his second or third story, whatever it is, and he just watches
He's got three stories.
Yeah, it's his third story.
Yeah.
And then all he does is just watch basketball. That night's games that he's taped, because he wants to see if he can pick up anything that he can get a read on. And he told this story about one time he noticed there were certain referees who would let you get the ball in a little quicker than other refs. And he said he took advantage of it the next game. Those guys were there. Yeah, he got a hold of his teammates and said, hey, this guy, I can get in a little earlier. I'm going to do some hit-aheads So let's, you know, I want to make sure you guys know that, because they're probably not going to let us. Once we do it once, they're probably going to get back on defense. And sure enough, he was able to get two or four extra points out of that, just because that's something he had found, almost like a poker player. He found a tell on one of the officials and knew that he could get points off it. That's how he is. James's tells are going to be different, what he's looking for late at night, than Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But it's working for the Rockets.
Back,
I know that.
Back to the ways and means.
Yeah, exactly. So Rockets and didn't Chris do anything, by the way.
And Chris understands that.
No, Chris knows where he is. Chris has never been that guy. He's notorious for, he's had the high school sweetheart he's been with forever. They've done stories on, he's the family guy, whatever. But he knows how the NBA works. He knows there's superstars. All that matters is James is balling out. The rest of the stuff is his personal life. And as long as it doesn't leak into his play or his performance, which it certainly hasn't at this point of this season, there's no question about that. James right now is on a MVP tear. He's averaging 31 plus points a game, and he is just not sliding back. Daryl Morey, rumor has it he was sniffing around on some trades. Nothing materialized. Doesn't mean the Rockets won't do something at some point after the deadline, sign in a veteran, you know, things like that. But Boris Diaw, I saw a story where some teams are already contacting him about, he's 35 years old, most playground-ass basketball. I mean, not playground, but he's like YMCA-style basketball.
He's a blacktop.
And at age 35, teams are like, he'll do a little of everything, and he's really good in the locker room. Let's add him. So he's a, you know, the Rockets might try to go after a guy, you know, kind of like that. But they didn't do anything trade the deadline, and they really don't need to right now. I don't really see any pressing needs where Daryl Morey needed to do any, go out there and do much. The Cleveland Cavaliers, on the other hand, the LA Lakers, very interested. And Cleveland said, look, LeBron's going to roll. Let's get a new young nucleus. And they got guys that Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, they got some young talent that is going to help them in the future. They made a smart move. The LA Lakers made a smart move. They immediately are set to clear cap space. So all this LeBron talk we've heard about in the future, they now are in that position. They now can do that. So,
but now that they've traded away the great young talent to get LeBron, well, doesn't LeBron find himself basically the same situation he was in Cleveland once he gets to LA?
See, that's why this can't be. That's why this bothers me about this idea that LeBron will go there for basketball reasons. That doesn't make sense. You want to tell me about something marketing-wise or quality of life for what he wants to live? Okay, that's fine if you want to sell me on that. But it doesn't make a lot of sense basketball-wise. Like, yeah, we're going to take away a couple of your really good pieces, and we'll let you have Paul George. Let's assume Paul George went over there.
Right.
And now go ahead and take on, you're a year older, LeBron. Now go ahead and take on the Rockets and take on the Warriors. I don't think his path to championships gets any easier.
Doesn't make sense to me coming through the West. Like, if they make this trade has to be so that he believes he has young players that will grow into what he needs them to be or will step up right now. But I don't think, I just don't see him coming to the West and becoming a dominant force. I mean, not with the Lakers, not with them giving away, to me, two of their best players. Obviously, two young, really good players that would be even better next year when he, you know, if and when he would go to the Lakers. So it just puts, I don't know, I don't understand LeBron leaving at this point. Like, if
you
these
guys
kids
think there's any chance that he stays in Cleveland with these young players around him? And
I got to admit, what Cleveland did was pretty impressive.
Rodney Hood, I mentioned the Rodney Hood trade.
Like, George Hill,
Rodney Hood. They hit reset with, they blew in the Nintendo cartridge and said, oh, younger players.
Now, obviously, it's going to be a little culture shock for the LA guys moving from Los Angeles to Cleveland. It's going to be
obviously
a bit different.
Yeah.
Right? But again, like I
thicker
said,
jacket. That's basically.
Well, jacket. Period.
Jacket,
I guess.
Period.
No. You guys have mudslides here?
No.
Forest fire? No. But wait till the winter gets
bitter
here.
Bitter cold. Lake effect snow.
What do you have here? Well, we got LeBron.
How many football teams y'all have? Yeah. A half. We've got like five now in L.A. back there. Well, we got the Browns, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So, yeah.
If you got throwback Cleveland Indian stuff, you have to get rid of it because we're getting a new.
What are the spots that I need to avoid from a paparazzi standpoint? You're good anyway.
Well,
guys, you should be good pretty much most anywhere here in
Cleveland.
Cheesecake
Factory can get a little hype on Thursday. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Might not want to fall up in Dick's or Wonder Mountain on the weekend.
Yeah. Wonder Mountain. When we come back, that's Bum B, Chris Solis. When we come back, Jimmy Garoppolo is the highest paid football player in history. It's a sporty contract. You guys know Jimmy Garoppolo, right? San Francisco 49ers quarterback, the one who played seven games and is now the most valuable player in all the NFL. It's funny how those contracts work out, but that's just how it goes. We'll tell you how much Jimmy got and for how long. Also, the Houston Sports Awards took place, the first annual.
Yeah, I was supposed last to be night. There.
I was invited. I was a voter. Now, we'll do this on the other side. Okay. 7:14, get into it. I want to tell you about Men's Tee Clinic. Go to mensteeclinic.com, and you can see the three locations that they have here in the Houston area. One is in Pearland. That's a brand new one that opened up at Discovery Bay in 288. The other is at the one that I go to is at on Durham and I-10. Right there, Heights area location. It's right there next to a Starbucks. You can't miss it. And then there's a location in Cypress, which is really blowing up at 290 in Barker Cypress. Now, when you go into Men's Tee Clinic, they will test you. They will have your results in just, you know, in just a matter of minutes, and they'll tell you where your level is, and they explain everything to you. And if you are above the level, then you are not eligible for treatment. They're not going to give treatments to somebody who doesn't need it. If you are, however, low, then they can treat you, and most of the time it's covered by your insurance. And I'm going to tell you what, it changes your quality of life. Workouts are working better. Belly fat starts to disappear. Your energy level spikes. Your drive goes way up to where it used to be, and you can get back to being the real you. And don't forget that for some of you, even under the age of 40, you have the condition that starts to show up. So if you say, Lance, I've heard about some of the you know what you've said, some of the telltale signs are, but I'm only 37 years old. Well, get in there anyway and just go find out just to make sure. 713-568-1175 or check out the website for all the locations and for more information at mensteeclinic.com.
Everyone likes to dance to a happy. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
If young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to show you. Beautiful morning.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah! Well, not John. It's 7:19 here on the show. Lance Zierlein with Bun B, Chris Solis. I got a surprise coming. I don't want to say exactly what it is, but let's just say since you guys got up to come into the show, I got breakfast coming, and that's all I'll say. And you'll find out. Hold on, you got to turn the mics on and off. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. It doesn't work.
You can't turn yours on and off, which is a very dangerous thing. There's a lot of that's a powerful position now behind that glass. When you can't turn your own mic on and off, we're relying on Harrison to make it all happen. Harrison, did you grow the beard? When did you grow the beard?
About 3 years ago.
Keuchel beard or Harden beard? Were you inspired by either?
Not really. I just kind of got tired of shaving. Keuchel's is a little too shaped for me. You know, it's very square.
It is. Chris and I went to, Bun, I know you're familiar with Portland. We went to Portland in, I think it was the first, I don't know if it was the first or second, when we went to the Woodsman. It was 11 or 12.
Yeah, I want to say about 6-7 years ago, something like that.
The Portland beard game back then. You went to a restaurant and you were going to see the beard game was just getting started. And I mean, it was called the Woodsman. And these guys all had beard. And I don't even think it was ironic. I think it's just how they were rolling in Portland. And now I didn't see the beard thing coming like this. It's been in full swing at least three strong years.
Well, Portland is very progressive. Portland kind of leads, you know, progressiveness in this country. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people realize beards, food. Mm-hmm. Portland is a super
big food
foodie town. They were the first town to really embrace like food trucks and stuff like that. And
very friendly with the food trucks.
Is Portland legal marijuana now?
Oregon, yeah.
Gotta be, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Beer is a ton of microbreweries all over
Craft
the place.
Craft brewers, yeah.
Nike and Adidas.
Adidas moved there. Yeah, Nike. I heard, I got to hang out with a guy from Adidas. He handles the football shoots for athletes, and his name was Jake. And Jake was telling me about DeAndre. He loves DeAndre Hopkins, loves Hop. He comes down here for a photo shoot. They did a photo shoot with Hop, James Harden, and Tracy McGrady. And they shot a commercial. So
Correa,
we can,
too, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Correa's an Adidas guy, too. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know if Correa was in this commercial or not, but I can't wait for it to see it come out. I can't wait to see how it ends up working out. So I mentioned this before the break. Jimmy Garoppolo. And look, you get paid on potential in the NFL, especially if you're a quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo finished very strong for the San Francisco 49ers last year. And San Francisco 49ers gave up a second. This is still hard to believe that Bill Belichick, Mr. Genius, gave up Jimmy Garoppolo for a second, which is what Nick Foles is going to get more than that. He gave up Jimmy Garoppolo for a second. And Garoppolo balled out like a lot of people thought he might, and he was actually better than expected. And he's got a great play caller in Kyle Shanahan. He ends up getting a 5-year deal worth $137.5 million. Now, the first 3 years, and he's at an age where he's expected to earn most of that contract. The first 3 years are worth, it can be worth as much as $90 million. So,
Guaranteed.
So if you do the math on it, obviously, you're talking about $30 million a year. That's easy math. $30 million a year for Jimmy Garoppolo. Guess whose contract he just passed? Matthew Stafford. Now, you think about that. How much big winning has Matthew Stafford done?
None.
How much has Jimmy done? Obviously, at this point, none.
He's got like 7 starts.
It's amazing. I know. That's it. 7 career starts. And he's the highest paid player in football.
It's a good deal.
I mean, how desperate are people for quarterbacks?
I'm just about to say it. Well, what does that mean in the quarterback market now? Does that set a new standard for guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know. And, you know, Tom Brady's never been a guy who's out there trying to be number one and how much he gets paid. I'm interested to see what Drew Brees does as a free agent. By the way, free agency starts March 14th. So it's not for a little while still.
He's going to crush it.
But if you crush it, then are you really giving yourself the best chance to win with the Saints? Then,
yeah,
if you
got young talent there, Michael Thomas, he might be up for. He's still what? 2 years.
Well,
in the
but
league?
Here's what I mean, Chris. If
Alvin
he,
Kamara, a rookie deal.
If he took $15 million, let's say, which is less than he took this year, obviously. If he took $15 million, which is well less of what the average quarterback for a starter, what the average quarterback makes. Wouldn't
I get what you're saying.
Potentially give him a little more wiggle room on
in
the free agent
market.
In regards
to team building, yes, it'd be better for Breeze to.
I don't
take
doubt
less
that
money.
Drew wants to try to win a title. And let's face it, they might be Super Bowl champs if the safety doesn't kind of duck under the tackle of Stephon Diggs.
No, they had a strong year.
Yeah, real strong
they
year, much stronger
strong
than people
year.
Thought.
And Kamara is a beast. You know what I'm saying? He's a beast, whether running or on the option or any of that stuff. He's really, really good. I think the culture likes him. You know, football likes him. I think the people like him. He's going to end up being a big draw next year, you know. And having a great running back like that takes that much more pressure off of a veteran like Drew
Better
Brees.
Defense helped him this year. His offensive line was good, like, to me.
Because his sack numbers would usually be pretty. You know, he'd throw up, you know, hella yards, but he takes some pretty good hits, too.
Yeah, no, for sure. And sometimes the less you ask a quarterback to do, the better they are. Like, I remember with Tony Romo, when they added Murray, DeMarco Murray, and remember how Tony Romo got a lot better when they asked him to do a little bit less?
Yeah,
like,
big offensive line. And
yeah, there's diminishing returns. The more you ask a quarterback, it turns into diminishing returns unless you're an elite, elite quarterback, which Tony wasn't. He was a good quarterback, not elite. So, I don't know. I'm interested to see. I mean, Breeze is going to be a Saint, but
The Brady's the only one that's really done it.
Yeah.
I don't really.
Where you can just say, well, Manning.
Did he?
Well, he never had. He didn't. Well, all right, so he didn't win a ton of titles. But, I mean, Manning played at a high level.
But
he didn't,
never. He took the.
He had edge early. Oh, you're talking about taking less.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Manning didn't do that.
Manning didn't do that.
Manning got his.
He's businessman.
Man's like, I just want to win. It's all about winning. I want as much as I can get.
20 more Papa John's.
Yeah. He got as many Papa John's as he could. And that's fine if you want to do that. But it does limit your team. So that's one of the interesting things. So Jimmy Garoppolo, seven starts, $90 million guaranteed over the first 3 years is what he's going to be making. Free agency starts March 12th through the 14th. That's when contracts are going to expire on the 14th. 12th is when you can start negotiating. Franchise tags comes February 20th. Don't see any franchise tags coming for the Houston Texans. I don't think that's going to be. I think they can take the day off on February 20th because there won't be any franchise tagging going on. But they will be active on the free agent market. One of those guys is expected to be Malcolm Butler, will be a former New England Patriot. Bill O'Brien's going to know him a little bit, obviously, because he's got the Patriot thing going, although Bill wasn't there when Malcolm was there, I don't think.
So is that really something that we think is going to happen here?
Or I think that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've got Jonathan Joseph's going to be gone, so you're left with you have a need at cornerback, and Malcolm Butler is a guy who...
He's plug and play.
Yeah, he's done it. I mean, you stick him in there, and he might be your best corner. I think he is your best corner as soon as you sign him.
Kevin Johnson.
It's not Kevin Johnson.
No.
It's not Kareem. Kareem's older, and there's talk about Kareem moving to safety.
Yeah, I'd say Kareem in either a nickel or safety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him out on the edge.
No.
So that puts Kevin on one side.
It puts Kevin on one side and Malcolm or Kareem. It's kind of rotational, however they want to handle it. So it'll help. And it also is going to help when you have Whitney Mercilus and then potentially, I always have to say potentially, J.J. Watt back to health because you don't have to cover as well when you got some dogs getting after the meat.
Right.
It makes it real easy.
So did we find out the concrete reason why Belichick sat him? Because I've heard a couple of different things about smoking and missing. Curfew's not a big deal, I guess, but. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, here we're not big on guys having character flaws on the Texas organization, so it's just going to be interesting.
Well,
who comes in?
Have we heard anything about that though?
No, he won't say anything. He's
denied it.
Yeah, no.
Malcolm said supposed to. Yeah, Malcolm denied it. Bill Belichick just said
never going to say anything.
Yeah, Bill Belichick never will. He just said, "No, everything's he didn't play for the reasons I said." That's what was going. Okay. And if you think you're going to pull anything else, Bill, give us more. Come on, Bill's not telling you anything else. That's it. That's a wrap. Bill said what he said, and that's it. Malcolm Butler said, nope, all these stories are – so we never will find out. But, you know, there have been some rumors. I mean, I think Malcolm must have done something. They got in Bill's doghouse. You're not going to just sit Malcolm Butler for the matchups. That's even too geniusy for Bill Belichick. I mean – way too geniusy. Hey, when we come back, I want to talk about those Houston Sports Awards. We'll tell you who some of the winners were.
Did you win, Lance?
I got to look at the page to see if I won. I'm not sure. I was a nominator and voter, so I don't think I was eligible to, or I probably won one of the moments of the year. I think I would have won a moment of the year. I'm hoping for a moment of the year in 2018. Technically, I'm eligible for when I tripped over a curb and tore tendons in the top of my foot.
I'm hoping that's one of the moments where
I put me in a walking boot. I'm hoping that's one of the moments of the year. 7:30 here on the bench. I want to tell you about your Houston Rockets. Let me tell you something. You've got a couple different playoff packages going down. Now, it's not playoff packages. I'm sorry. This is stretch run packages. There's the 3-point, and there is the 3-point stretch run, and then there's the free throw, three-point and dunk. I always think of three-point and free throws because that's how the Rockets play. But those are the two packages, and each of them have a variety of different games in them. One of them, you've got the dunk package. You got a chance to go see Russ. Russ is coming to town. And then on the three-point package, you got the San Antonio Spurs coming to town. So make sure you check it out for yourself by going to Rockets.com. Five-game package starting as low as $132 per ticket. Now is the opportunity to go watch some amazing basketball. The Rockets are almost unbeatable with Capella and CP3 and Harden in the lineup together. Now is your time to go watch this really fun team and a team that is one of the best in the league. For tickets, go to Rockets.com or simply call 713-627-DUNK.
Yeah. To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.
This one's for you. Baby, you my A-thing. You all I ever wanted. We could do it real big.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
In the neighborhood, you kind of get lost in the music.
Yeah. Talking about music in New Orleans, Louisiana, a lot of... So Houston's got its own. Bun B with us. Chris Solis with us. So Houston's got its own. You know, it's had its own music culture, music scene, which is more than obviously hip hop. New Orleans is well known for it. Louisiana, Miami's got theirs. I mean, everyone's, you know, kind of got their own little scene. What's give me an area that's hot right now, if you would know, around the country that's like producing. It's kind of the big thing that's producing. We know West Coast, East Coast.
Probably Atlanta.
So right it is. There. Atlanta's had a pretty long
run.
Yeah,
they've been having a good run right now. Because Atlanta has they have a strong local base where they're very Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? They don't really take in culture from a lot of other places.
But people move to Atlanta, though.
And that's what I was going to say.
It's kind of like Houston like that, isn't it?
Of out-of-town people.
Who just become Atlanta?
Yeah, well, Atlanta has a lot of great business opportunities for people of color. Mm-hmm. Like, you can really actually rise up the corporate ladder.
In Atlanta,
fairly, you know, I won't say easy, but a lot easier than maybe in a lot of other places. You know, they've got CNN, TBS, and all that stuff. They got Coca-Cola.
They got some mega companies.
They've got some really, really big companies in Atlanta. And again, it's, you know, it allows people to be a little bit more upwardly mobile. And, a metropolitan city, and maybe they would be in others.
I always look at Atlanta, and Atlanta scenes, they got a great food scene. They got a lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then I say, yeah, but it's still hot as hell. Like, it's not even, they call it Hotlanta for a reason. We still got some of the same Houston stuff going on. I don't know how humid it is. I've been to Atlanta a couple of times.
No, it's not as humid as us.
It's not here.
It is.
No, it's not.
It gets hot, though.
Well, it gets cold, too. That's the other
thing. Does it really?
Yeah, Atlanta gets cold, too.
That's right.
Yeah, they ice over a lot. Their highway entrance ramps are a little different, like, because everything's kind of on a hill. A lot of time to get on the freeway, you're going down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So if you got slide.
Yeah, if you got ice problems. Like, I was there for the Super Bowl they had with the Ray Lewis situation and all of that. And I remember half the party's getting canceled because it iced up on that Saturday night.
Too dangerous to drive.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, don't you ice up? I mean, don't you salt up?
I don't know if they were really ready for how bad it was going to be that year because I had a hosting that night and then we left. But then, like, we took residential back to the hotel. There was like a 22-car pileup at the exit ramp from where my party was one guy wrecked and then everybody just kind of ran into him.
Well, I was here a few weeks ago. We found out firsthand cars just banging into each other. Like, I think the traffic, the Transtar or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in like a 2-hour period, there's 150, 200 wrecks.
Did you know how big the Houston? I had no idea how big this Houston Sports Award. Chris, you told me. I wondered how our boy.
Yeah, it was televised.
Michael P. Davis said, "You're probably there." Like, he sent me a text. I just saw it late.
It had train wreck qualities to it.
Did it?
Well, just the.
It's the very first one.
The very first one. Yeah. And right. the audio video was, you know, marginal.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
My piece worked out.
Yeah. You put one. Tell people what your piece was.
So I did the introduction for the 34s. Our sports legends in Houston, Nolan Ryan, Earl Campbell, and Hakeem Olajuwon were all actually number 34. So they wanted to have all three, and they've all never been in the same room at the same time. So they wanted all three of the guys like on stage at one time. And so they had me do the voiceover for the video intro for them. And then I was supposed to go and do a bit, but I had a show in Dallas on Wednesday night and I couldn't get back here and get a haircut, which I still haven't gotten a haircut. I just couldn't get back here in time to do everything. Cause they wanted the carpet started like at 4:30 or something like that.
Yeah,
and the dinner started at 6 and I'm married. There's no way we're going to make that.
No, not that early.
Yeah, I didn't get back in town until like 2 o'clock. And I was like, I knew it on Wednesday. I was like, yo, I can't make this. I'm glad I got to do the intro. And then 2 hours, and that's a lot, man. I've been to different award shows. Like, you go to the Grammys and stuff like that, you can't bring, like, they don't really serve a lot of liquor at those places. And even if you can get a drink, you can't bring it on the floor. The only place that lets you drink at the table or during the awards is the Golden Globes.
Golden Globes, just, they wanted to get as lit as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That kind of makes people want to go.
It's like,
because it's so long, man. Yeah. The stuff at the Grammys I went to was like, and then I was nominated in the Grammy, in a category that you have to go. There's two Grammy ceremonies. Actually, three if you count the technical stuff. But mm-hmm. like, for all the music categories that aren't on television, they all happen in like one auditorium over like a 6-7 hour period. So you're just sitting there going through, you know, best classical jazz music, right, best polka album. You got to sit through all of that stuff. Like, my category was 87 or something like that. And then I lost anyway. And then still
who
had
who
to go.
Who beat you?
Kanye.
Kanye.
Yeah, it was Kanye's year that year.
Man, by the way, somebody else told us Weather Channel is in Atlanta also.
Oh, wow.
It's in Atlanta.
There's a lot of different.
They probably aren't. I bet they're owned by Turner.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is Turner Broadcasting.
I bet they're owned by Turner. Yeah, I've always wondered about the Grammys. Like, does it look, is it just like any other thing? I mean, it's, you know, you've got a lobby, you've got, you see things like the Oscars, and then you got to remember, well, they're still in it. Like, we've been to locations like that where you're there for something, maybe not exactly the same, but those venues are those venues. And so I guess it doesn't really look, if you were to go there, you just have to get all dressed up. Like, where did they have the Houston Sports Awards last night?
Was at the Hilton Americas?
Yeah, I think that is where it was. So I'm looking at it, and I get contacted by Melanie Hauser, who used to be with Houston Chronicle, and she said, hey, I wanted to add you as a voter. This is a while back.
Right.
She said, I want to add you as a nominator and voter for these first annual Houston Sports Awards. Are you interested? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. And so, you know, here's the categories, and we had to nominate somebody. Then it came back, here are the nominees. Now you have to vote, and we did that. And I didn't think it was going to – honestly, I just thought it was going to be a small – I didn't think it was going to be a big deal. But it was the Houston Sports Authority, so I guess I should have realized it was going to be a bigger deal. All of a sudden, I swear to God, you're invited to it, and I'm like, man, I got to get my draft profiles done. I don't have time for this. I got to get my NFL stuff done. And then all of a sudden, I see pictures on Twitter – Roger Clemens, you got people in tuxedos. There's Roger Clemens being interviewed, and there's Dream. Here's Earl Campbell, and I'm like, what the heck?
Everybody
this is
was there.
Way bigger than I realized.
No, everybody, because I started looking at pictures. Big Angry went.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he went.
That's
with
Big Angry goes everywhere.
Yeah, Big Angry went because we weren't going, and I think my manager was able to give him my two tickets or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And you just see him with taking pictures with Earl Campbell next to Jose Altuve. Then there's one, I think he has Earl, Akeem, and someone else all in the shot, like all kind of talking to each other.
That's pretty cool.
And I mean, and they told me I was going to have a good seat at a good table. They was like, you have any preference to who you want to sit with? And I wanted to say Earl, but that's kind of easy. I think it would have been interesting to be at Nolan Ryan's table, just like a fly on the wall kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side would be Akeem, because Akeem doesn't really talk much at all. So it'd be interesting to see who Akeem would see at the Houston Sports Awards and be like, hey, my friend, and just kind of,
right,
you know, just kind of get into that. I actually just saw Akeem a couple of weeks ago in a fabric store.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that's my wife was buying
people
fabric.
People run into Dream at places like that.
Because he has the suits. He does the suits thing. So he was in there buying a bunch of different material for suits. My wife was in there buying some stuff to get a dress made, and I was just like,
I must say it. I think
Akeem.
Dream to me, and I know he's from Lagos, Nigeria. Dream is the most Houston athlete / Houstonian that we've ever had. And here's what I mean by that. We saw him from the time he was a freshman at U of H.
Right.
He was in 3 Final Fours at Houston in 3 years. So and that's when college basketball was really on
a
national stage.
Yeah.
Really big deal. The newspapers covered Houston in a really big, big way. So we got to see, and then I was uniquely position because my dad was coaching football there, so we would go to games, and I had a Houston Cougar magazine, so I knew about when Dream was coming in. I read all about him, and so we watched Dream grow up with the University of Houston and 3 Final Fours, One of them was against Patrick Ewing, which was major nationally. One of them was, you know, the one of the most iconic the Louisville game for basketball fans was
NC State.
But the Louisville game was an iconic game for years and years. It may not register as much for people, but for those of us who watched a lot of basketball then when we were younger, that game was the two dunking teams.
It took basketball to another level. People don't know that.
Yeah.
But it took what basketball was played in the 40s and 50s,
yep.
Four corners offense. People don't know anything about this, but
yeah.
That was the game that made college basketball the sport to put your eyes on.
83 Houston Louisville, that's exactly right. They've actually written an article how that team, Phi Slamma Jamma, and that game in particular changed the landscape of college basketball forever, where it became more dunking, more high-flying. People wanted to play fast instead of – like, good teams would stall. There was no shot clock.
Oh, yeah.
Good teams would go in four corners. Dean Smith was famous for taking the air out of the ball, and he might have a game in the 30s. Dean Smith.
Kids, what? They used to not have a shot clock. So if you had a 10-point lead
– and no three-point line.
And no three-point line. And once you got a 10-point lead, it was a wrap. You would just pass the ball around for 3 minutes at a time and get a dunk.
Oh, man, it was. So, yeah, and then we watched Dream go right from there to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, so it was a very Houston path for him.
That's what I'm saying. And then two championships, the first championship for the city came on the heels of – it came on the back of Dream being the dominant player in basketball. I mean, and then Dream stuck around the city of Houston, shows up courtside at games. People see him around the city. Like, Dream is the most Houston athlete to me of all time. And then he was in Toronto for,
I was going to say that was a small thing. But even Nolan played for the Mets a little while, so it's not that big a deal.
So that was, Dream was there yesterday, and we'll tell you about some of the awards here in a second. It's 7:45 here on The Bench. I want to tell you about Bill Advisor. So if you go to BillAdvisor.com, you can find out all about their business, which is, you know, renegotiating your contracts and your contracts for cell phone and cable and home insurance, auto insurance, anything that's a recurring bill, they can negotiate for you. And in many cases, these recurring bills are where they stick you with additional fees and you're paying way more than you should. Now, I'm not necessarily the norm because I saved over $2,000, but I will say the average person saves $800 and they hate the fact that I'm always telling you about the $2,000 savings. But honestly, there are people saving $3,000 on a regular basis, $2,000, $1,500. It's rare that they don't save money for someone. Very rare. As a matter of fact, they like guarantee you, if they don't save you $150 your first three bills, they give you $150 cash. And you can find out about that deal. Go to Bill Advisor. But they got something really cool going on right now. If you text TGS to 313131, they will send you a text quote for your homeowner's insurance. I did that the other day and found out I could save $700 annually on my homeowner's insurance. So I will be doing that next Tuesday. My wife and I are going to switch over, and all it took was one text message. If you want them to renegotiate your bills, text BILLS to 313131. And if you want to get a quote, hassle-free quote via text for your homeowner's insurance, just text 313131, but instead text TGS. It's BillAdvisor.com. Like a startling sign, the fate had finally found me.
And your voice was all. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'll talk about it here in a second, but I was telling Bun about a lot of people don't realize poker. You can play poker here in Houston now, like for money. You get paid. There's no – oh, hold on. Microphone's on, Harrison. Oh, you can turn yours on, Chris. There you go. I'm good. Prime Social. I got to go. They've got a $60,000 tournament this Saturday.
Nice.
Let's see if my wife wants – what do you want to do this weekend? I was thinking maybe we just go out on Saturday. Where do you want to go? Let's go to that new spot, Prime.
Beautiful build out.
Okay. They got food, drinks. We'll get some drinks. We'll have some good food. Okay. And then how long is that going to be? Hopefully about 6 hours.
What's with the headphones?
Why are you bringing your headphones? Just hoping to concentrate.
Yeah. What kind of place is this?
Why'd you bring sunglasses? Why are you bringing a hoodie where you're tied up so no one can see your carotid artery, you know, throb when you're trying to bluff? Yeah, don't worry about it. So, okay, guys. So let me just tell you what just came in. As you can see, I brought you breakfast. Since you guys got up early and came in.
Thank you.
Yeah. Chris Solis, Bun B, in studio with me. I arranged to have some breakfast brought in for you from LaPete, our friend Nick Scherfield, who used to work with the Texans, has been in PR for a minute now, and handles a lot of restaurants. And I reached out to him, and I know you know, Bun, you know Nick. And LaPete's been here for 30 years in Houston. And they got a new location just right around the corner from us over there in the Galleria area here. So 4340 Westheimer is the new location. So, and they actually serve alcohol, but I'm kind of sad that I didn't. Yeah, I'm kind of sad I didn't have any mimosas.
I was going to say
brought in. Yeah. So look at what I have brought for you here. You seeing this? See what I got going here?
Got a lot of
here?
Food here.
Yeah, got a lot of food. That's actually more chips than I thought was going to come.
I see tortilla chips.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. I just know I just can't wait for the next break. Ooh, look how much food is here. So see, I take care of you guys.
Well, Nick takes care of us.
Well, okay, LaPete takes care of you. Nick and LaPete takes care.
I see a giant container with a cinnamon roll.
Look. Oh my God! On the menu, it's called Texas cinnamon roll.
Yes.
Holy crap! That looks like a pancake.
It's
the size of like a pancake.
That's the pancake. The other. Giant
and that looks like a plate. The cinnamon roll is the size of a pancake.
Why don't you put the cinnamon roll on top of the pancake?
And then bacon on top of that?
And there you go. And then drop syrup on it.
Wow. Man, this is... Holy crap. It's like a clown car. These things keep coming out of those bags. It's unbelievable. Thanks, Nick. Yeah. Food is courtesy of Mark Mobley and Brendan Murphy, friends of the show. So they got breakfast and lunch 7 days a week. So
God bless them.
Yes, sir. Thanks. Listen, Mark, Brendan, thank you so much. And also Claudia Norris is the GM here in the Galleria area. Thanks so much for doing this, as I wanted to hook my friends up here with a little. I appreciate you guys coming in. I thought Dell was going to be a friend, but Dell hasn't even sat in on one single segment, and he hasn't been anywhere.
What is that you just?
He's in food service.
That was the one I got Queenie because I thought she was coming in because I know she's healthy. So I got it's a parfait.
Oh, yogurt. Okay.
Like granola or something?
Yeah.
In it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she would have went for that.
That's what I'm saying. I was taking, that's why I asked you. I'd already put the order in when I asked if Queenie was coming. She didn't come this time.
No, hair day.
Okay, well. Hair day is an important day.
Hair day is the day.
Hair day is the day. Athlete of the year, Jose Altuve. You guys knew that was going to be Altuve, right?
Right.
Okay.
I imagine the Astros swept this thing.
They did well. Yeah. Ed Oliver was college player of the year, of course. The high school athlete of the year was Grant Gunnell, who's quarterback at St. Pius. Coach
going
of the
to
year.
A&M.
Is that where he's going?
Yeah.
A.J. Hinch. Houston Astros coach of the year. Okay. Imagine that. Moment of the year, Alex Bregman. I'm sensing a theme, Chris. With the walk-off, the fan of the year was Carson Riley, who caught Carlos Correa's home run in the AL championship, ALCS. Executive of the year, Jeff Leno. So it's pretty much all Astros.
Right.
And then they won a World Series. Lifetime Achievement Award, Les Alexander. It was good that Les got his due. Man, Les was a really good owner.
He was an amazing owner. He loved that team, loved the city. He was not afraid to try to do what it took to make this team great.
We talked about poker during the break. Les was the guy who went all in. Les pushed his chips in the middle of the table the time.
Les bought in. He sat at the table. He put popped out a couple $100 bills.
Yeah.
$1 million bills. And
check change, $10 million.
And he flopped. A nut straight on year one,
yeah,
first hand.
No.
And then he got dealt, got dealt pocket aces, and then he caught a set on the flop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was good.
Right off
two
the bat.
Two championships.
Right off
two
the
years.
Bat. And then he had some bad beats with Tracy's injury and Yao's foot.
Yeah, he got.
But, you know, here's the thing with
rivered.
With Les. Yeah, but here's the thing with Les Alexander that I always loved. unless
he was always calling.
He called everything. He was in every pot. There wasn't a pot that Les Alexander wasn't in. Oh, we got a chance to trade Steven Coutinho for Tracy McGrady. I'm in. Yeah, oh, we got a chance to get Charles Barkley. I'm in.
He never folded a hand.
He always thought Big Bank would take Little Bank.
Always. He was always trying to push Little Bank. Scottie Pippen, in. And it didn't always work, but he was in the pot all the time. You were playing. You weren't folding and playing tight. He was loose with his chips, and we're the better for it because he let Daryl, and then once Daryl got in, he kept letting Daryl do what he does best, which is try to maneuver, manipulate cap, maneuver draft picks, tries to take 10 cents and turn it into 20, and eventually you get to a point where you could trade for James Harden. If you don't trade for James Harden, you don't have Chris Paul. Like, these are all dominoes that fall.
Oh, absolutely.
And they all start, we can talk about Daryl Morey all we want, but it all started with Les Alexander saying,
starts at the top.
Yep, do it, do it, do it.
Yeah, you got to have a guy that's like, whatever you think we need, I'm with you, you know?
And that's how he did it. And not all owners are like that at all, at all. So we were really lucky to have him. So it's cool that they did that. So I want to tell you guys about, so Prime Social, I was telling you about this, Bun, and Chris knows about this. It's a poker place. It used to be at there was a churrascaria, but before that was a sushi place that everyone had been waiting for. It took 2 years for them to build it. Fish and a Knife. Beautiful spot. Beautiful, beautiful spot. And now it's a poker room that has 20 brand new felt tables, awesome dealers, great
20
cocktail
tables?
Waitresses, 20 tables. It's the biggest in Houston. They've got a VIP room with these, and they're all elevated. It's elevated ceiling. It's encased in the VIP room and the high rollers room. They've got 29 televisions. We're going to do a March Madness watch party there. They do tournaments every single day, guaranteed at least 66,000 in payouts every single week. They got a game going this Saturday, which is a $60,000 tournament. It's a $300 buy-in, and it is $30,000 for the winner. And then the last table pays the rest of the $30,000. So I don't know. I think my wife's going to find out.
I'm going to love it.
I'm just going to tell her date night. We're going to have date night, and then we're going to end up, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to get in here real quick. Let me put these headphones on. And how long is this going to take? Hopefully 6-7 hours. I'm hoping 8-10. Let me just put it this way. The longer it takes,
the better
it is for the Zuerlein family. If it takes an hour,
that's not a good look.
No.
It's not what you want. You play?
I play occasionally. I haven't played in a while.
Yeah.
Same here. It's been a while.
Yeah.
When you sit down with people who are good and play a lot, immediately you feel like your cards are no good. You immediately say, these kings don't feel good
right now. I can't win with this.
You're like, king. Things that I feel strong on when I'm playing weak players, like king, queen, this is a good hand. Like,
yeah.
They're no, over the top. He's got aces. Fold. Yeah. This is no good.
Yeah, why am I the one getting pushed around?
Yeah, because you're the one with the stake tied around your neck.
Exactly. Who put this meat collar on me?
But I'm going to be a wolf soon enough. They have friendly games there as well. 1-3, no limit hold'em. So you guys go check them out for yourself over at PrimeSocialTX.com. That's PrimeSocialTX.com. We got to break it right now because Lapeat Breakfast is waiting for us. That's Chris Solis. That's Bun B. I am Lance Zuerlein. You're listening to The Bench.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.